This is the Cambridge First Certificate in English for Schools listening test. Test A. I'm going to give you the instructions for this test. I'll introduce each part of the test and give you time to look at the questions. At the start of each piece, you'll hear this sound. You'll hear each piece twice. Remember, while you're listening, write your answers on the question paper. You'll have 5 minutes at the end of the test to copy your answers onto the separate answer sheet. There will now be a pause. Please ask any questions now because you must not speak during the test. Now open your question paper and look at part one. You will hear people talking in 8 different situations. For questions 1 to 8, choose the best answer A, B or C. 1. You hear 2 students discussing a TV program they have just watched.
Did you see that new detective show yesterday? I loved the female police officer who starred in it. She was really cool.
Yeah, well, I really liked it too. I wasn't so keen on her. I thought she was a bit too good to be true. I thought the music in the background really added to the atmosphere, though. Nice tracks. And the twists and turns in the storyline were amazing, weren't they? You had to concentrate to keep up. I haven't seen anything quite like that before.
Me neither. That was the best bit. I didn't find the music that good, actually. But I'll watch it again.
Me too.
Did you see that new detective show yesterday? I loved the female police officer who starred in it. She was really cool.
Yeah, well, I really liked it too. I wasn't so keen on her. I thought she was a bit too good to be true. I thought the music in the background really added to the atmosphere, though. Nice tracks. And the twists and turns in the storyline were amazing, weren't they? You had to concentrate to keep up. I haven't seen anything quite like that before.
Me neither. That was the best bit. I didn't find the music that good, actually. But I'll watch it again.
Me too.
2. You hear a boy telling a friend about a sailing course he has just done.
Oh, hi, Adam. Did you enjoy the sailing course you did at the weekend?
I did. We were really lucky, because there was sunshine and a good breeze. The forecast said there'd be storms, but there weren't. I was one of the youngest students there, but that didn't worry me. I'd enrolled on an advanced course, and I didn't think there'd be many other people with as much experience as me, but there certainly were. I wasn't prepared for the fact that I found it hard to keep up with the others. Some of them were much bigger and stronger, but I learnt a lot.
Great! Oh, hi, Adam. Did you enjoy the sailing course you did at the weekend?
I did. We were really lucky, because there was sunshine and a good breeze. The forecast said there'd be storms, but there weren't. I was one of the youngest students there, but that didn't worry me. I'd enrolled on an advanced course, and I didn't think there'd be many other people with as much experience as me, but there certainly were. I wasn't prepared for the fact that I found it hard to keep up with the others. Some of them were much bigger and stronger, but I learnt a lot.
Great!
3. You hear a teacher telling her students about a project they are going to do.
Okay, everyone. For your project on a writer, choose someone who wrote in English from any country you like. The word length is 1,200 words, although you can go above that slightly if you have to. I'll help you with grammar if necessary. It's your responsibility to check how complicated words are spelled, though. Remember, you'll get marked down if there are lots of errors. Write a short biography of the writer and then talk about their ideas. You'll have to find some information to start with, so try the internet. I'm sure you know how to avoid inaccurate sources. or try books in the school library. Now, any questions? Okay, everyone. For your project on a writer, choose someone who wrote in English from any country you like. The word length is 1,200 words, although you can go above that slightly if you have to. I'll help you with grammar if necessary. It's your responsibility to check how complicated words are spelled, though. Remember, you'll get marked down if there are lots of errors. Write a short biography of the writer and then talk about their ideas. You'll have to find some information to start with, so try the internet. I'm sure you know how to avoid inaccurate sources. Or try books in the school library. Now, any questions?
4. You hear a girl talking on the radio about her favourite band.
Yeah, well, I love this band called One Mind. I've bought all the albums they've made. They come from the same part of the city as me, just a few blocks down from where I live. Not that I've ever met any of them. I can really identify with their songs because they sing about being young, growing up, and so on. And their guitar playing is great. And the keyboard player manages to make some really interesting sounds. Yeah, I'm really keen on them. And I love to play the drums like Tim does. Yeah, well, I love this band called One Mind. I've bought all the albums they've made. They come from the same part of the city as me, just a few blocks down from where I live. Not that I've ever met any of them. I can really identify with their songs because they sing about being young, growing up, and so on. And their guitar playing is great. And the keyboard player manages to make some really interesting sounds. Yeah, I'm really keen on them. And I love to play the drums like Tim does.
5. You hear two students talking about what happened in an art class at school.
How did you get on in art today, Daniel?
Well, first of all, Christopher tipped some water over the paper I was working on. It was a complete accident, but it wasn't a good start. And then I didn't realise we were supposed to be doing a sketch of someone else in the class. I brought in a photo of my little brother to work from.
Yeah, I drew Hannah as I always sit next to her.
Once I started to work with paints, though, I did better. I'm pleased with the colours I chose, and I think I've done something Mr. Jones will like.
Great. How did you get on in art today, Daniel?
Well, first of all, Christopher tipped some water over the paper I was working on. It was a complete accident, but it wasn't a good start. And then I didn't realise we were supposed to be doing a sketch of someone else in the class. I brought in a photo of my little brother to work from.
Yeah, I drew Hannah as I always sit next to her.
Once I started to work with paints, though, I did better. I'm pleased with the colours I chose, and I think I've done something Mr. Jones will like.
Great.
6. You hear a girl talking on the phone about a shopping trip.
Success! Yeah, I got exactly what I wanted, Mum. Not in the sales. There were some great reductions, though. Yeah, it was new stock, just in. I had enough money for some shoes the same colour as the top, so they'll look great with my new white trousers. Yeah, that's what I'm wearing to the wedding. I'm really glad I went to that new store you suggested. It's a nice place. I hadn't been there before and I'll certainly go there again. I couldn't find anything in the shop in the centre I usually go to. Okay, see you soon. Bye. 6. Yeah, I got exactly what I wanted, Mum. Not in the sales. There were some great reductions, though. Yeah, it was new stock, just in. I had enough money for some shoes the same colour as the top, so they'll look great with my new white trousers. yeah, that's what I'm wearing to the wedding. I'm really glad I went to that new store you suggested. It's a nice place. I hadn't been there before and I'll certainly go there again. I couldn't find anything in the shop in the centre I usually go to. Okay, see you soon. Bye.
7. You hear two students talking about a castle in Scotland.
It was a great trip, wasn't it, Peter? I thought the Scottish countryside was magic. All those mountains and misty mornings.
Yeah, it was. And as for the castle we went to yesterday, there was so much mist about. It was the perfect place for a fairy tale. You know, princess and dragon stuff.
Little kids would love it, wouldn't they? That place certainly had a fantastic atmosphere. I think you could make a ghost story there too.
Not sure about that. Somebody said they're going to make a documentary series there, though, about the history of Scottish families. It might be a bit dull. There won't be any battles and swords and stuff.
Right. It was a great trip, wasn't it, Peter? I thought the Scottish countryside was magic. All those mountains and misty mornings.
Yeah, it was. And as for the castle we went to yesterday, there was so much mist about. It was the perfect place for a fairy tale. You know, princess and dragon stuff.
Little kids would love it, wouldn't they? That place certainly had a fantastic atmosphere. I think you could make a ghost story there too.
Not sure about that. Somebody said they're going to make a documentary series there, though, about the history of Scottish families. It might be a bit dull. There won't be any battles and swords and stuff.
Right.
8. You hear a sports presenter talking about a running race.
And I have to say that Julie Barker put in the performance of her life yesterday in the 400 metres. She was competing in her first race since she recently sprained her ankle badly and had to take several weeks off. And yet, she was in fantastic form. And although she didn't start well, she quickly pulled out in front and seemed to just fly across the finishing line. It certainly wasn't too soon for a big race, though her coach said it wasn't wise. If she maintains this standard throughout the season, I'm sure she'll be considered for the Olympics soon. She's a great competitor. And I have to say that Julie Barker put in the performance of her life yesterday in the 400 metres. She was competing in her first race since she recently sprained her ankle badly and had to take several weeks off. And yet, she was in fantastic form. And although she didn't start well, she quickly pulled out in front and seemed to just fly across the finishing line. It certainly wasn't too soon for a big race, though her coach said it wasn't wise. If she maintains this standard throughout the season, I'm sure she'll be considered for the Olympics soon. She's a great competitor.
That's the end of part one. Now turn to part two. You will hear a young chef called Tom Nielsen talking about the cookery competition he has just won. For questions 9 to 18, complete the sentences with a word or short phrase. You now have 45 seconds to look at part two.
Well, I'm going to talk about a cookery competition I've been taking part in called Young Chef. And actually, I'm really pleased because I've got a place in the national final. So, Young Chef is a competition for students aged 14 to 16 who are studying catering. I actually found quite a few competitions you can enter, and they're usually run by the food industry. This one is different, though. It's organised by a chain of hotels. It was first started about 10 years ago, and I discovered it was because they wanted to attract more young people into working for them as chefs. Apparently, some research had shown that very few teenagers considered a career as a chef, even though they admired the top chefs like Jim Marsh in the same way they do famous pop stars. That really surprised me. Now, about the competition itself. There are four stages, and you start with a competition at the school you attend. For the first stage, you just have to cook a main course. There's no need to cook a dessert. The food is judged by teachers at the school, and the three winning pupils go on to represent their school in the second stage, which is called the local final. In that, you have to work out the exact cost of the two-course meal you cook, which can be quite hard if you're using just a small quantity of certain stuff like herbs and spices. The local final is held at a college and judged by professional chefs, who also test you on a range of things about working in a kitchen, like safety. They expect you to know the names of well-known French and Italian dishes too, but you don't get a formal test on that. The winner then goes on to participate in one of the 12 regional finals, and before you take part in those, you get advice from a professional chef. Jane Spelling, the chef who helped me, was great. I learnt so much from her. At the regional final, you have to cook a meal to a fixed budget, and the most important thing that's tested is the timetable you draw up for your meal. You have to list every step of your food preparation and how long it will take to do. And once you've done that, you have to stick to it. Believe me, that's really tough. I had to practice a lot before I got it right. And if you survive all that and get through to the national final, as I have, then the pressure is really on. Why? Well, you have to plan and cook a meal for four people within 2 hours. And the trickiest thing is that they give you the ingredients, so you have to work out what to make with them. Everyone gets the same, and you're not allowed to look at any recipes at all. That means you have to have good basic cookery knowledge, and you're judged not just on your cooking skills, but on the presentation of your dishes. I know that the standard is very high, so I'll be trying a lot of things out before the big day. And if I win? Well, there are some really awesome prizes. The first prize is a chance to spend 2 weeks working in a restaurant belonging to a top chef, which is fantastic. The second prize is also good, though, because you get some top-quality stainless steel cooking pans, and I'd really love those too. And there's actually a set of kitchen knives for everyone who gets as far as the national final, so I'm certain to get those. I'll be taking part in the national final on the 30th of March, so wish me luck. It's not long now.
Now you'll hear part two again.
Well, I'm going to talk about a cookery competition I've been taking part in called Young Chef. And actually, I'm really pleased because I've got a place in the national final. So, Young Chef is a competition for students aged 14 to 16 who are studying catering. I actually found quite a few competitions you can enter, and they're usually run by the food industry. This one is different, though. It's organised by a chain of hotels. It was first started about 10 years ago, and I discovered it was because they wanted to attract more young people into working for them as chefs. Apparently, some research had shown that very few teenagers considered a career as a chef, even though they admired the top chefs like Jim Marsh in the same way they do famous pop stars. that really surprised me. Now, about the competition itself. There are four stages, and you start with a competition at the school you attend. For the first stage, you just have to cook a main course. There's no need to cook a dessert. The food is judged by teachers at the school, and the three winning pupils go on to represent their school in the second stage, which is called the local final. In that, you have to work out the exact cost of the two-course meal you cook, which can be quite hard if you're using just a small quantity of certain stuff like herbs and spices. The local final is held at a college and judged by professional chefs, who also test you on a range of things about working in a kitchen, like safety. They expect you to know the names of well-known French and Italian dishes too, but you don't get a formal test on that. The winner then goes on to participate in one of the 12 regional finals, and before you take part in those, you get advice from a professional chef. Jane Spelling, the chef who helped me, was great. I learnt so much from her. At the regional final, you have to cook a meal to a fixed budget, and the most important thing that's tested is the timetable you draw up for your meal. You have to list every step of your food preparation and how long it will take to do. And once you've done that, you have to stick to it. Believe me, that's really tough. I had to practice a lot before I got it right. And if you survive all that and get through to the national final, as I have, then the pressure is really on. Why? Well, you have to plan and cook a meal for four people within 2 hours. And the trickiest thing is that they give you the ingredients, so you have to work out what to make with them. Everyone gets the same, and you're not allowed to look at any recipes at all. That means you have to have good basic cookery knowledge, and you're judged not just on your cooking skills, but on the presentation of your dishes. I know that the standard is very high, so I'll be trying a lot of things out before the big day. And if I win? Well, there are some really awesome prizes. The first prize is a chance to spend 2 weeks working in a restaurant belonging to a top chef, which is fantastic. The second prize is also good, though, because you get some top-quality stainless steel cooking pans, and I'd really love those too. And there's actually a set of kitchen knives for everyone who gets as far as the national final, so I'm certain to get those. I'll be taking part in the national final on the 30th of March, so wish me luck. It's not long now.
That's the end of part two. Now turn to part three. You will hear five short extracts in which people are talking about school visits to places of interest. For questions 19 to 23, choose from the list A to H what each speaker says. Use the letters only once. There are three extra letters which you do not need to use. You now have 30 seconds to look at part three. Speaker 1.
I went on a visit to London this year with my school, and this time we went to the British Museum. Our teacher said there'd be lots of hands-on stuff, and there was. And really, I had the best time ever. We had a worksheet to fill in some of the galleries, and you could learn a lot doing that. The visit made history feel, well, alive to me. I used to think it was really dull. Not anymore, though. What I really loved was that everything was bright and colourful in the exhibits we went to.
Speaker 2.
Our school visit was to an outdoor activity centre this year. I wasn't keen on the idea at first. I was hoping for a trip to the Science Museum like last year. They said it was going to be all team challenges and climbing trees and mud and stuff, which didn't sound like my scene at all. When we got there, though, the activity leader let us choose which activities we did. I decided to try rock climbing, so I spent a morning being taught the basics and then doing an easy climb. I'd never done anything like it before, and it was great.
Speaker 3.
We went to a place called Dinosaur Island last month on a school visit. At the visitor centre, we did a lot of interactive stuff like weighing fossils. It was fascinating. I've always loved that kind of stuff, and I decided while I was there that I'm going to work in science when I finish school. I really enjoyed going on a walk along the beach too, to collect fossils. Our teacher thought we'd have an expert guide with us, but in the end, there was just us, and it was more fun, really. He's really nice, and he didn't give us any worksheets or anything.
Speaker 4.
I'm doing media studies this year, and we got a great visit to a film studio as part of our course. I couldn't believe how hands-on it was. I knew we were going on a sort of behind-the-scenes walking tour, and I thought we'd just have a guide to show us round and talk to us. But we walked round the sets, tried on costumes, and were shown how to do special makeup. And the best thing of all was a special effects show at the end. I loved it. I'd recommend the visit to anyone.
Speaker 5. We went on a school visit to the Eden Project as part of our biology course on the environment. It's a huge place. I couldn't believe my eyes when I got there. We spent a day learning about the rainforest and had a talk from someone who spent his whole career studying it. It was so inspiring to hear about his experiences. We found out about the links between the UK and the rainforest too, you know, through things like the plants we get medicines from. And at the end of the day, we went into the souvenir shop, which had some fantastic stuff.
Now you'll hear part 3 again.
Speaker 1.
I went on a visit to London this year with my school, and this time we went to the British Museum. Our teacher said there'd be lots of hands-on stuff, and there was. And really, I had the best time ever. We had a worksheet to fill in some of the galleries, and you could learn a lot doing that. The visit made history feel, well, alive to me. I used to think it was really dull. Not anymore, though. What I really loved was that everything was bright and colourful in the exhibits we went to.
Speaker 2.
Our school visit was to an outdoor activity centre this year. I wasn't keen on the idea at first. I was hoping for a trip to the Science Museum like last year. They said it was going to be all team challenges and climbing trees and mud and stuff, which didn't sound like my scene at all. When we got there, though, the activity leader let us choose which activities we did. I decided to try rock climbing, so I spent a morning being taught the basics and then doing an easy climb. I'd never done anything like it before, and it was great.
Speaker 3.
We went to a place called Dinosaur Island last month on a school visit. At the visitor centre, we did a lot of interactive stuff like weighing fossils. It was fascinating. I've always loved that kind of stuff, and I decided while I was there that I'm going to work in science when I finish school. I really enjoyed going on a walk along the beach too, to collect fossils. Our teacher thought we'd have an expert guide with us, but in the end, there was just us, and it was more fun, really. He's really nice, and he didn't give us any worksheets or anything.
Speaker 4.
I'm doing media studies this year, and we got a great visit to a film studio as part of our course. I couldn't believe how hands-on it was. I knew we were going on a sort of behind-the-scenes walking tour, and I thought we'd just have a guide to show us round and talk to us. But we walked round the sets, tried on costumes, and were shown how to do special makeup. And the best thing of all was a special effects show at the end. I loved it. I'd recommend the visit to anyone.
Speaker 5.
We went on a school visit to the Eden Project as part of our biology course on the environment. It's a huge place. I couldn't believe my eyes when I got there. We spent a day learning about the rainforest and had a talk from someone who spent his whole career studying it. It was so inspiring to hear about his experiences. We found out about the links between the UK and the rainforest too, you know, through things like the plants we get medicines from. And at the end of the day, we went into the souvenir shop, which had some fantastic stuff.
That's the end of part three. Now turn to part four. You will hear an interview with an American girl who sings in a choir. For questions 24 to 30, choose the best answer, A, B or C. You now have 1 minute to look at part four.
And today in the studio, we welcome Gina Genoza, who's 14 and in grade 8 at high school. She's going to talk to us about her experience of singing in a choir. Welcome, Gina.
Hi.
Tell us a bit about the choir you sing in.
Well, I started off in my school choir, but for the last 2 years, I've been singing in a youth choir, which takes young people from schools all over the county and encourages them to perform in front of an audience whenever possible. You have to be really keen, and you have to be at a high standard before you join. So that means you've put in a lot of time and effort already, and you have to keep right on doing that.
I see. And the choir is important to you?
Oh, yes.
Why is that?
Well, the choir is a place where no one judges you. A lot of different people are accepted into the choir, and singing unites a wide range of musical styles into something real special. And if someone messes up, no one worries about it. You just move on. It gives you belief in yourself, makes you willing to try things.
So is one of the reasons you enjoy the choir that you mix with other people?
Absolutely. Every choir rehearsal is a social event. I expected to make a lot of new friends, and I have. Everyone there is a friend now. You also find out how to persuade people to reach agreement by talking things through and asking the right questions. That's something I didn't really get before. I do now, though. And of course, I've met people from different backgrounds, too. Hispanic, Chinese.
And how do you feel about the music you sing?
Well, we do a variety. Mostly modern pop songs and stuff, but also classical. And I think we may try some jazz arrangements soon. Although, I'm not sure I'll like those so much. As a choir, we always get to select a lot of our own music, though, which I really like. And as our director shows us things we would never have come up with on our own, the range of music we sing is broad.
Is singing a good way for people to express themselves?
It certainly is. Being in the choir means learning how to express yourself musically, of course. And through the songs, you get to express emotions. Even people who are normally quite shy and quiet really get into it. And you can pass things on to other people, too. You can show them how much joy you feel in the music, or how sad the lyrics of a certain song make you feel. That's cool.
I know your choir performs a lot for the public. How do you find that?
Well, the first two or three performances with an audience were a bit scary for me, but I was allowed to stand at the back. And it's fine now. We're all there together, Our families are usually in the audience, and they all really want to see what we can do. They're normally on our side, rather than being there to criticize. Some people still feel under pressure, but I don't really. Well, not much anyway.
And finally, the choir has a musical director, John Greenbaum. What does he contribute?
Oh, gosh. Well, of course, he has a fairly nice voice himself, so he can demonstrate what he wants. And as a good conductor, he's clear. And when we're performing, if we start to go wrong, he can sort of pull us through with the force of his enthusiasm. That's vital. His best quality, in fact. He's a very dynamic person. He holds us together.
That's wonderful. Gina, thanks for talking to us today.
Thank you.
Now you'll hear part four again.
And today in the studio, we welcome Gina Genoza, who's 14 and in grade 8 at high school. She's going to talk to us about her experience of singing in a choir. Welcome, Gina.
Hi.
Tell us a bit about the choir you sing in.
Well, I started off in my school choir, but for the last 2 years, I've been singing in a youth choir, which takes young people from schools all over the county and encourages them to perform in front of an audience whenever possible. You have to be really keen, and you have to be at a high standard before you join. So that means you've put in a lot of time and effort already, and you have to keep right on doing that.
I see. And the choir is important to you?
Oh, yes.
Why is that?
Well, the choir is a place where no one judges you. A lot of different people are accepted into the choir, and singing unites a wide range of musical styles into something real special. And if someone messes up, no one worries about it. You just move on. It gives you belief in yourself, makes you willing to try things.
So, is one of the reasons you enjoy the choir that you mix with other people?
Absolutely. Every choir rehearsal is a social event. I expected to make a lot of new friends, and I have. Everyone there is a friend now. You also find out how to persuade people to reach agreement by talking things through and asking the right questions. That's something I didn't really get before. I do now, though. And of course, I've met people from different backgrounds, too. Hispanic, Chinese.
And how do you feel about the music you sing?
Well, we do a variety. Mostly modern pop songs and stuff, but also classical. And I think we may try some jazz arrangements soon. Although, I'm not sure I'll like those so much. As a choir, we always get to select a lot of our own music, though, which I really like. And as our director shows us things we would never have come up with on our own, the range of music we sing is broad.
Is singing a good way for people to express themselves?
It certainly is. Being in the choir means learning how to express yourself musically, of course. And through the songs, you get to express emotions. Even people who are normally quite shy and quiet really get into it. And you can pass things on to other people, too. You can show them how much joy you feel in the music, or how sad the lyrics of a certain song make you feel. That's cool.
I know your choir performs a lot for the public. How do you find that?
Well, the first two or three performances with an audience were a bit scary for me, but I was allowed to stand at the back, and it's fine now. We're all there together. Our families are usually in the audience, and they all really want to see what we can do. They're normally on our side, rather than being there to criticize. Some people still feel under pressure, but I don't really. Well, not much anyway.
And finally, the choir has a musical director, John Greenbaum. What does he contribute?
Oh, gosh. Well, of course, he has a fairly nice voice himself, so he can demonstrate what he wants. And as a good conductor, he's clear. And when we're performing, if we start to go wrong, he can sort of pull us through with the force of his enthusiasm. That's vital. His best quality, in fact. He's a very dynamic person. He holds us together.
That's wonderful. Gina, thanks for talking to us today.
Thank you.
That's the end of part four. There'll now be a pause of 5 minutes for you to copy your answers onto the separate answer sheet. Be sure to follow the numbering of all questions. I'll remind you when there is 1 minute left so that you're sure to finish in time. You have 1 more minute left. That's the end of the test. Please stop now. Your supervisor will now collect all the question papers and the answer sheets.